Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Business Wars Daily ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars Daily on this Thursday, October 29th. A huge Hollywood experiment ended its life in a way that seems somehow fitting. Quibi, a company designed to bring miniature Netflix-quality shows to your smartphone, called it quits earlier this month. Like its programs, which were no longer than 10 minutes apiece, Quibi's very life was itself short, only about 6 months long. The infant media company had attracted almost $2 billion from investors, about $150 million in advertising, and some big-name actors and directors. As a result, Quibi's dramatic closure has spawned no end of speculative criticism about what the startup did wrong, and whether its leaders, Hollywood powerhouse Jeffrey Katzenberg and former HP CEO Meg Whitman, did anything right. In case you haven't heard of it, the original idea behind Quibi was to make high-quality programs that were short enough to watch from start to finish while waiting to do something else, say riding the subway or standing in a checkout line. These wouldn't be user-generated YouTube-like videos, but what Quibi envisioned as the, quote, next generation of storytelling, dramas, comedies, and nonfiction programs cut into quick bites, the origin of the company's name. Well, you get the idea. Quibi had the bad luck to launch during the pandemic. That meant this service, designed explicitly for people out and about, debuted when people were in and definitely not out and about. Positioned as another streamer, but not at first on your TV, Quibi did what most streamers and new apps do. When it launched in early April, it offered a 90-day free trial. About 1.5 million people signed up and presumably began watching Quibi's original shows, thrillers like Wireless, about a drunk man caught in a New Year's Eve snowstorm, Free Ray Sean, a drama about a black man accused of killing a police officer, and Last Looks, a series about scandals in the fashion world. As I said earlier, at launch, you could only watch on a smartphone, despite the fact that most viewers were quarantined in their homes with perfectly usable TVs at their disposal. It took a few more months for Quibi to make the TV leap. The question back in May and June was how many of those initial free viewers would convert to paying customers. Quibi's price was high, $5 a month with ads or $8 without them. As The Verge points out, Apple TV Plus costs $4.99 a month. Worse, Quibi's higher price is more expensive than Disney Plus. The answer on those conversions was clear. Quibi didn't get anywhere near enough money or viewers. And with that dearth of viewers, some advertisers threatened to cancel. On October 22nd, Katzenberg and Whitman published an open letter on Medium announcing Quibi's collapse. The founders laid some of the blame on COVID-19, but not all. In addition to timing, they said another likely reason could be, quote, that the idea itself wasn't strong enough to justify a standalone streaming service. Indeed, a great deal of the criticism says exactly that. The format itself was flawed from the start. 10 minutes may have been far too long for some content and far too short for others, a sort of netherworld that works for user-generated YouTube content but not for expensive productions that aspire to be the next Netflix. As one example, The Guardian reporter Jack Bernhardt commended Free Ray Sean actors Stephen James, Lawrence Fishburne, and Emmy winner Jasmine Cephas-Jones for spectacular performances in a powerful production, but he added, quote, "It feels almost offensive to everyone involved that I can only watch it on a tiny phone screen." Furthermore, he said, it should have been a 2-hour film, not 15 quick bites. The company is exploring selling the rights to some content. Screenwriters and producers with shows under development are left to try to sell them elsewhere. A tough sell, given that most media companies can't use 5 or 10 minute episodes. Quibi is returning about $350 million to investors and giving severance to its 200 employees, The Wall Street Journal reports. Katzenberg and Whitman's letter puts Quibi's experience in the context of the entire very busy streaming media ecosystem. The executives would never have imagined launching during a pandemic, they said, but They admitted other businesses have faced these unprecedented challenges and have found their way through it. Indeed, we've reported here on boom times for Netflix and Disney Plus, among others. All have benefited enormously from lockdowns. The mistake Quibi made lies in a different sphere altogether, says The Verge critic Julia Alexander. Quibi didn't fail because TikTok existed, she says. It failed because executives refused to see TikTok as its biggest competition, she wrote. TikTok has exploded globally with an ever-growing mountain of user-generated short-form video, video that is virtually free to produce and free to consume. But Quibi had its eye trained on Netflix. If Alexander is correct, Quibi was looking for threats or a role model in the wrong direction. In an already struggling Hollywood, it's hard to watch the layoffs of employees and the suffering of artists whose shows are now killed. A great deal of talent converged around Quibi. It remains to be seen where all that talent will find a new outlet. From Wondery, this is Business Wars Daily. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Wondery app, or wherever you're listening right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app to listen ad-free. I'm your host, David Brown. This episode was written and produced by Elaine Appleton Grant, edited by Emma Cortland. Our executive producer is Marshall Louie, created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Business Wars Daily ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.